Get you set up with Big Ten Ted here in just a bit to get his thoughts on the final week of the regular season in the Big Ten. A couple other upsets in top 25 college basketball, should say, here today. You had West Virginia winning in overtime over Gonzaga. Solid game for Tucker DeVries as they beat number 3 Gonzaga in overtime, 86-78. And then Indiana got absolutely smacked by Louisville, 89-61 today in top 25 action. Some good games coming up later on tonight. We'll check out the rest of the scoreboard here later on the show. 319-366-1600. It's that time of the week. Well, usually we do this on Thursdays, but with the holiday tomorrow, we asked Ted, hey, would you come on the air with us on Wednesday? And he said, sure. So we're going to bring you our conversation with Big Ten Ted here a day early, and he's joining us live on the airwaves here in Eastern Iowa to talk a little Big Ten football. Ted, how you doing? Happy early Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, happy early Thanksgiving to you as well. I am ready for everything, the best holiday of the year. It is truly an elite time, and I'm ready. You know, usually you have your first helping, then you go back for seconds. We're going to be going back for seconds with two Big Ten matchups on Friday. I'm so stoked about that. Ready to talk about it.
Yeah, we got Iowa, Nebraska. We'll get into that. We'll talk a little Minnesota, Wisconsin, too. Of course, we got the game this weekend, the big noon kickoff game. We'll touch on that and more coming up here in just a bit. But, of course, got to rewind to last week. We had the Indiana-Ohio State matchup, the Buckeyes getting the dominant win there. Nebraska's finally bowl eligible, Ted, getting their sixth win against Wisconsin. What stood out to you from last week's action in the Big Ten?
Yeah, of course, the big matchup that everybody wanted to know exactly what was going to happen was that Ohio State-Indiana game. And here's the thing that I kind of look back at the week before, or the game before, when Indiana played Michigan, is they kind of had a little bit of trouble blocking up front against the Michigan defensive line. And, you know, that first drive looked really good for Indiana against Ohio State. They went down the field and scored, but Jim Knowles kind of said, yeah, we're bringing the pressure here. We're bringing the heat. So I think we've seen two examples of how maybe Indiana's offensive line has struggled against, now, Michigan and Ohio State, two of the best defensive lines in the country. We should probably say that, certainly right off the bat. But it's certainly something that stuck out to me in that game. And then Ohio State just did what they did on offense. And, you know, I wasn't overly concerned about the shuffling up front on the O-line about them, and they kind of proved that. Carson Hinsman has started at center before for the Buckeyes, so they certainly did. And they are just playing their absolute best football right now at the exact right time as well. And, you know, you go to that Penn State-Minnesota matchup as the Nittany Lions, they've had a couple of tries at this, and they've been pretty good at it, is these nail-biting games. They had an overtime game against USC earlier this season. They won by 7 against Bowling Green. Remember that earlier this season as well. So they played some close games, and how about that gutsy call, snapping it to Luke Reynolds, and then he goes up for a touchdown back in their own territory. Minnesota maybe had some chances to come away with this one, but Penn State, they've been good in these tight games, certainly this season. And Nebraska had their best offensive performance. It's so the move with Dana Holgorsen has been very unprecedented, but just what's happened, coming in during the bye week, getting promoted for game week, and then a couple of games later, they're putting up 470 yards and 44 points on a Wisconsin defense that halted Oregon to 16 points, you know. So Nebraska's looking pretty good at the right time. Dana Holgorsen, he's simplifying things on offense, going more north and south instead of east and west right now. So those are definitely certainly the storylines to focus on. And now also, how about Michigan putting up a 50 spot this last week as well?
Yeah, that was not necessarily surprising. Northwestern has been not a great team, but yeah, 50 points. Michigan letting out maybe a little bit of frustration against the Wildcats last week. All right, Ted, onward to this week, Black Friday and Saturday action, wrapping up the regular season in the Big Ten. We'll start at night since our listeners are obviously focused in on Iowa and Nebraska. This one has been a very close rivalry over the last several years. Iowa got the last second field goal last year in Lincoln. Huskers won last time in Iowa City, coming off that 44-point performance. I would imagine, Ted, will probably be another close affair between Iowa and Nebraska. What do you see with this one, and how do you see it playing out on Friday night?
Yeah, man, this is it's game, set, match. It is going to be a close game. It really seems like that. Ever since Nebraska joined the Big Ten, only 4 games have been decided by more than 7 points. So it's commonplace for this game to be ultra competitive. And I love the rivalry that this game certainly has become over the years. We've talked about how Iowa has played much better at home this season. You get them at home, you get them at night. I mean, that's a tough spot. As far as even as good as Nebraska is playing on offense right now, that's still a tough spot. So what do we know? What needs to happen, right? Iowa needs to be able to run the football with Caleb Johnson, with Kamari Moulton, and all those guys in the backfield. They need to establish that, certainly, and get that going. Yeah, they've done a pretty good job at that. They've done a really good job at that this season. One of the Power Four leaders as a team in rushing this season. You look at Nebraska up front. They've had good games up front on the defensive line. They've maybe had other games where they haven't been as good. So a little bit of a roller coaster, I think, for both of these teams. But defensively, you've seen that for Nebraska. Nebraska, I mean, bring eight guys into the box. Bring all the guys that you need to bring them into the box and make Jackson Stratton beat you, right? That they need to put the ball into his hands and let him be the guy and have him be the hero. Because if Nebraska is able to do that, if they are able to contain the run game, make Jackson make plays down the field, that certainly fits into Nebraska's hands. And the Nebraska on offense, I think, needs to be able to stretch the field as well. I'm not sure how successful they're going to be against the front seven of Iowa in this one, running the football. So we need to see kind of what we were seeing last week against Wisconsin. We need to see Dylan Raiola stretch the field in the middle. We need to see him on the perimeter certainly as well. Match up against these Iowa DBs, where there's been times this season where they've gotten beaten over the top. Iowa needs to play that simple game in the secondary where they keep everything in front of them and make some turf tackles in the open field. But I think it's going to be an extremely close, very entertaining game.
Yeah, the quarterback position is what really comes down to. I mean, not only that, but running the football, obviously. But you have Jackson Stratton, who was an unknown, really buried in the depth chart, and now he's QB1 again. It sounds like Sullivan and McNamara are at least practicing this week, but it's probably going to be him. So as you said, if he needs to make plays, can he make the plays? The coaching staff has said, yeah, they're more confident in him now than they were just a couple weeks ago. And he did what he needed to do. Wasn't necessarily flashy against Maryland last week, but made, you know, the throws he needed to make. Raiola has not been good on the road. I brought up his splits earlier in the show. I think 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions on the road this year. So if Iowa can get some pressure, you mentioned that front seven, and blow up that Nebraska line and force Raiola into some mistakes. He's certainly shown, Ted, that he can make some mistakes, and they could be costly in a road environment this year.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. I've called Iowa the ball Hawkeyes in terms of their secondary in past years. They're tied with Minnesota for the Big Ten lead in interceptions. So, you know, kind of flowing into what you just said, if that front up there for Iowa has a good day, they, you know, make life a little bit difficult for Dylan. Hey, this secondary has proven that they can certainly take the football away this season. So, I mean, that matchup, I tend to lean a little bit Iowa in this game, a close win for the Hawkeyes in this particular matchup, you know, because of what you said, Iowa playing good at home and then maybe Dylan Raiola not playing as well on the road. But I could see a lot of scenarios certainly going down in this matchup on Friday night.
All right, we're kicking off the day Friday, Ted, with some Big Ten football. Minnesota at Wisconsin. The Axe is on the line. The Badgers are favored in this one. It's dropped down to 1.5 inside Camp Randall Stadium. I feel like Minnesota is going to win this game, but maybe I shouldn't be so sure, considering this is an important one for bowl eligibility and just general mood around the program going into the postseason and the offseason period here for Luke Fickell and staff. What do you make of this year's edition of the Axe game, Ted?
Yeah, this is an intriguing one because, you know, you obviously one of the best trophies and the oldest rivalry in college football is certainly at stake. But that 22-year bowl streak is at stake for Wisconsin. And the Badger fan base takes a lot of pride in that and their consistency that they've been able to achieve over the years. But, you know, can you imagine what it would be like all offseason long for these two fan bases, for Minnesota to get this win and claim not only the Axe, not only a 7 or possibly 8 with a bowl game win season when they had a 4.5 win total over under at the beginning of the year, but not only that, but also end the 22-year bowl streak for Wisconsin? Oh, that would be a big feather in PJ Fleck's cap, certainly right now with this Gopher program. So there's certainly a lot on the line here. You know, when I look at this matchup, let's take a look first at Minnesota offensively. Darius Taylor has had a trend this season where he has a 100-yard game, then he has two sub-100s, and he comes back to 100. So he's maybe due, right? It's right in line after two sub-100-yard games against Rutgers and Penn State. He's due for that 100-yard game. And then when you look at Wisconsin defensively, Wisconsin gives up the second most rush yards in the Big Ten this season. They're not great on the defensive line, and they don't get a lot of pressure right in the pass rush either. That's been something that's been very apparent for Wisconsin this year. So I think Darius Taylor, I think he could have a good day running the football. When Max Brosmer has time back there, he's proven that he can deal the pill, that he can really throw it around. So that matchup tends to favor Minnesota for me. And then you look to the other side. Minnesota is a secondary. Now, they only, I think, have one interception in the last three games, but they are tied with Iowa, as I said before, with the Big Ten lead in interceptions. It's been a very advantageous secondary with guys like Coy Parrish back there, Justin Wally, and Kerry Brown, and Henderson. Like, there's a lot of talent that goes after the football. What do we know about Wisconsin? What do we know about Braden Locke? He throws an interception every single game. So if Minnesota can get pressure on Braden Locke, I think they feel pretty good about him maybe not making the best decisions to favor Wisconsin, and they can certainly get some turnovers to help them out on the road in Madison, Wisconsin. Wisconsin needs to be able to run the football. I think that's the big key. Wisconsin needs to get back to the old-school Badger football, running with Tommy Walker, running with the true freshman Darian Dupree, establishing that. I think that certainly helps them out. I think for Wisconsin, it comes down to if they can't run the ball, I just think there's too many other matchups that favor the Golden Gophers, certainly in this one. I picked Minnesota to come out on top in this one.
Yeah, you and I are in the same boat. We both know a bunch of Gopher fans. We both know a ton of Badger fans. So, like, our friends and family are going to be, like, just on edge with this one on Friday midday, 11 a.m. kickoff on CBS. All right, Ted, last featured one I know you wanted to talk about. We got to talk about the game, right? Ohio State and Michigan. Ohio State's favored by 21 points. I guess I shouldn't necessarily be all that surprised considering what Michigan has shown us this year, but I feel like 21 points is a ton in this one, regardless of how good either team is. What's your take on the game this year between Ohio State and that team up north?
You know, on paper, it certainly seems like, hey, Ohio State's got all the motivation. They're playing their best football. They haven't beaten Michigan on the field since 2019 because of the COVID cancellation in 2020, and it's at home. I think the crowd is going to be certainly going to be juiced up for this one. I think Ohio State has all of the motivation to put their foot down on the gas pedal and just go, go, go. But here's, I think, what it comes down to. Michigan wants to make this one a little bit ugly. They want to play this game certainly in a box, but I think Ohio State, their advantages lie out on the perimeter. I'm not sure how well they're going to be able to run the football up the middle, considering the changes that we talked about in the offensive line and Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, those great defensive tackles in the middle for Michigan, because that's what Michigan needs to do. Their defensive line needs to play their best game of the year, plain and simple. They need to be able to stop the interior run game. Josiah Stewart and TJ Guy on the outside, they need to be able to win those battles against Ohio State's tackles and get pressure on Will Rogers to maybe be able to shorten these route concepts down the field where Jeremiah Smith can get open, where Emeka Buka can get open. But if I'm Chip Kelly and if I'm Ohio State calling this game, I just want to get my athletes in space, because Michigan hasn't been the greatest tackling team back there in the secondary at times this season. So if I get Smith, Abuka, even if I get my running backs, even if I get the run game out to the perimeter with some RPO or some read stuff, Will Howard in a design QB run game, I feel really good about that matchup for Ohio State, certainly, in this game. Look, Michigan's been playing better football. Ever since they went back to Davis Warren, really ever since that Illinois game, they've slowly but surely been gaining a little bit of confidence, right now on the offensive side of the football. Here's the thing. Michigan does not have much of a pro game. Even though they've been getting better, they just don't have it, right, with Davis Warren. I said this all season long about Michigan. They have a small window of success, right? They need to be able to play great defense. D-line needs to be able to get after it, and they just need to be able to smash and run the football. If all of those things don't line up very comfortably in a row, then they're going to have big problems. When I look at this O-line for Michigan against Ohio State's defensive line, especially with what I saw last week, if Jim Knowles dials up the pressure I think this offense, and that's what I would do if I'm Jim Knowles in this one. I'm dialing up the pressure, right? Because I don't think Michigan has a fantastic throw game, certainly over the top. Like, they can't, like, I don't think Michigan's wide receivers can win a one-on-one matchup against Davis and Benosin or Denzel Burke or some of these defensive backs. So leaving them out on an island, I don't feel bad about that. Bring pressure. Make their offensive line be able to pass protect well. I'm just not sure if they can do it. Yeah, that spread is interesting. That is a big spread. I actually had Ohio State covering this spread. I think they're going to come out highly motivated, and I think they're going to take a lot of momentum certainly into that Big Ten title game.
Speaking of the Big Ten title game, is it Oregon, Ohio State we're talking about next week, or do you foresee chaos happening this weekend?
I don't foresee chaos because the Ducks and the Buckeyes are out for blood this week. Of course, you go to Oregon. I mean, they've lost their last three versus Washington, and both the Ducks and the Buckeyes are at home. I think those teams are going to be laser focused on these rivalry games, and they're going to be able to get it done. And then next week, we're talking about one of the biggest conference, maybe the biggest conference championship game of all time, right? You got number one versus number two, a rematch in the Big Ten championship game, and that's going to be for all the marbles. Winner gets the one, loser probably gets the five seed in the CFP. So that we'll certainly cross that bridge when we come to it. But I think both of those teams at the top are going to be focused on the rivalry games this week to advance to Indy next week.
Real quick, Indiana State at 10 in the CFP rankings. You know, the real ones that matter, yeah, Don't come out for another couple weeks. Are they locked in? I mean, they got Purdue, so that I feel like they're pretty much locked in unless they are shocked and lose to the Boilermakers, which I just don't see happening. But Indiana locked in to the CFP in your mind?
I think they are. I mean, I'm kind of looking at kind of who's below them. You got a Clemson team that's below them, and maybe something could happen with them. And, you know, because I think really, you know, you look at what's happening in the ACC and the Big 12 and some of these other conferences, I just don't see them leapfrogging Indiana. And then you look at some of these SEC teams. You have some three-loss teams certainly there. I think if I'm Indiana, I'm rooting for Texas to knock off A&M, because if A&M beats Texas, then they're going to the SEC title game. Where does, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios certainly right now, but I think Indiana's in at 11-1, considering how many of these SEC teams have lost this last week. We talk about the Alabamas, we talk about the Ole Misses, you know, you talk about some of those teams. So I think IU is in. I know there's, like we said, there's some chaos that could certainly happen, but it looks like Indiana's going to be most likely, right? We want to make sure we say that. Most likely going on the road in the first round of the playoffs. Like right now, I think they got them going on the road to Happy Valley. So that would be a very interesting Big Ten matchup that did not take place in the regular season over there. So, yeah, I think the Hoosiers are pretty comfortably in.
Ted, what you got content-wise over Thanksgiving weekend?
Oh, boy, it's going to be I'm really looking forward to eating the leftovers and watching some Black Friday football. I'll be doing some post-game stuff for both of the Black Friday games. Of course, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa that we talked about as well. And they're going to be recapping some of the games certainly on Saturday. And then coming up next week, we've got a bunch of coverage as we look forward. We're going to be breaking down every single aspect of the Big Ten championship game, likely, as we said, to be the Oregon Ducks facing off against the Ohio State Buckeyes. So it is, we're ramping it into full gear. Really excited about what's coming up.
Ted, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks.
All right, same to you.
That's Big Ten Ted here on 1600 ESPN. Appreciate his time as always. Final wrap on the regular season. Everything kicking off with that Minnesota-Wisconsin game on Friday. First one up, 11 a.m. on CBS with Nebraska and Iowa to follow at 6:30. We'll run down the Big Ten and Big 12 schedules coming up here on a little bit extended edition of the menu, looking at both tonight and the weekend ahead here in just a bit. We'll get you the code word in our year-end bonus sweepstakes coming up here in just